DW Africa Link.
Yay! The African Union and the European Union are celebrating 25 years of close cooperation. So why the yay, you may ask? Well, considering that Europe is Africa's main trading partner and closest neighbor, this relationship is a big deal. That's why Europe has been meeting Africa in the AU-EU summit for years. The 7th edition just ended in Luanda, Angola. So what impact does this relationship have on everyday lives? Is it truly mutually beneficial? What more needs to be done to address common challenges and create more opportunities?
We are calling for a more balanced trade partnerships. I'm pleading for European investments in the transformation process of our minerals on the continent. I'm calling for the lifting of any tariff or non-tariff barrier hampering the access of African products to the European market.
Excellencies, fellow leaders, in a world of trade conflicts, a closer partnership between us begins with trade itself. Europe is already your first trading partner by far. One third of Africa's total trade is with Europe. And Africa exports to Europe more than twice as much as to China, for example.
That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. And you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Europe and Africa met in Angola for the 7th edition of the AU-EU summit from 24th to 25th November. The summit focused on a major reset in migration cooperation, highlighting new legal pathways, skills partnerships, and reforms on irregular flows from Africa to Europe. Now, this aims to address labor shortages in Europe and youth unemployment in Africa while balancing security concerns and humanitarian commitments. So, in essence, migration will hopefully become central to economic, political, and social ties between both continents. But talk is always cheap, isn't it? Let's break this down with Edmilson Angelo, a migration expert, and DW's Ajua Tinkroma Domina, our correspondent in Accra, Ghana. I know the saying goes, ladies first, but Ajua, allow me to start with the gentleman. Edmilson, can you help us understand how important the relationship is between Europe and Africa?
What makes this relationship extremely important is the fact that the European continent still one of the biggest investors in the African continent. And obviously, when it comes to the issue of migration, much of the big debate has been obviously migration from Africa to the European continent. At the essence of the discussion on migration, one of the biggest debates is peace and security, as well as good governance. And this is the reason why Angola, obviously, which is the country leading the African Union at the moment, has chosen this topic to become the theme of the summit. And essentially, obviously, if we touch at the different levels of relationship or partnership between the two continents, we'll look at trade and investment. Obviously, there's a lot of investment coming now, even more. We have the Lobito Corridor as a huge example of how the European Union is starting to really see investment in Africa as something that should be taken more seriously. But obviously, the main issue, which is perhaps the most political issue discussed in Europe, in the European continent, is obviously the issue of migration and mobility. But at the essence of it, there are issues that connect with both continents. As you know, the European Union is a huge example of continental integration. And this is the debate that the African countries has also been trying to, you know, sort of come into a consensus on how to build something that is the best for the entire continent. So essentially, these are the different pillars that makes this partnership extremely important. And I think as we discuss, I'll be able to touch more into more details into these elements.
Thanks for laying that foundation for us. And maybe let's just dig right into it, because as you rightly said, it's such a huge relationship. I mean, Europe remains Africa's largest trading partner, right? So there's a lot to benefit from such a relationship. But is it just me, or in recent years, the focus has almost always been on migration, on how Africans should do more to prevent Africans from illegally migrating to Europe. Is that a real concern? And is there merit in why this has been the major topic for several years now?
Right. When we look at the reality on the ground, one thing that we have to understand is that this is not just an issue of people, you know, going to Europe, but there's also people leaving Africa. And I think when the discussions happen in summits like this, the African perspective is making the counterpart understand that this issue is not just about people leaving the continent to go to Europe, but also people actually leaving a gap within the continent because of reasons that obviously are connected with both parts. I guess the discussion has been around that mainly because this is a subject that has been extremely politicized within not just European space, but also Western space. And it tends to be sort of like, you know, the elephant in the room, when in reality, it's not really about that, because as we know, the migration flow remains shaped by labor demand in Europe, which is something that is, you know, more and more being proven. Demographic pressure as well in Africa, with ongoing instability in parts of the Sahel. So there's a lot of things that when we actually touch down into this topic of migration, we realize that is not really the way, you know, European countries tend to put forward. You know, meanwhile, structural driven conflicts, climate shocks, economic stagnations, all these issues, they're not just an issue that is solely on Africa. It's also issues that are in the table of discussion in Europe. So even though the portray is as if this is an African issue, but it transcends that, it's bigger than that. And I think what we see from African countries in this summit is making the European counterpart understand that the discussion shouldn't be on this is an African issue, but this is a global issue that needs to be tackled collectively.
Right. Very well said. So I guess that I'm going to ask you directly, is there an actual migration problem from Africa to Europe?
Yes, there is indeed. This is something that we cannot deny, you know.
Okay. Now, what I understand from what you're saying is that while that is correct, it is also as a result of the system that Europe has in place that somehow makes it difficult for people that want to go legally to access Europe. And so some have to resort to illegally moving to Europe. Is that also correct?
Yes, that's correct as well.
Right. And so you're saying that while there are challenges in countries on the continent, on African continent, and people genuinely want to leave for maybe greener pastures as they see it, in most cases, it's simply because Europe is making it difficult for people to access their continent. And so they find ways to go. I'm trying not to put words in your mouth, but you said a lot of things, and I just want to make sure that this is where we are at.
Yes, 100%. You know, we have been more and more coming across the restriction visa regimes that has been implementing and has been affecting Africa, not just people who are intending to migrate illegally, but even students as well being affected. So there's a structural issue that cannot be denied that exists, that most of the time forces these migration, right? And obviously, smuggling networks are filling that gap, and they are reinforcing by strong demand in Europe for low wage labor. So there's a demand and supply as well, which is something that needs to be tackled collectively, because of it's not a one way issue. This is something that transcends just the African continent.
Right. Thank you for that. I'm glad that we're on the same page, just to let listeners understand where we are at in the conversation so far. Now, Adjoa, you've been listening to this, and I'm sure you've been speaking to a lot of experts yourself, but also you've been speaking to ordinary Ghanaians, right? And I wonder what people really make of the relationship between Africa and Europe.
For many Africans, and I'm sure you have seen this over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of rebuilding of Pan-Africanist ideals. And so you are looking at people who are evolving and saying things like, this relationship that has existed for a very long time. In fact, it's been 25 years since this summit, you know, started, but the relationship goes way beyond. But people view the relationship essentially as being a relationship of power imbalance. power imbalance in the sense that one party, which is Africa, is usually or mostly the home of the resources. And in fact, at the opening ceremony, the European Commission President Ursula spoke about it, that Africa is home to the resources. The other party, which is Europe, you know, has always been seen, or Europe or the other global superpowers have always been seen as the home of the finances or the ideas or the technology, you know, that can revitalize or revamp these resources, these raw resources that are taken from Africa to the rest of the world. I think Angelo was speaking about the Lobito Corridor, for instance, a major development and a major part of this summit, and it has formed a major part of the conversation. Even the German president's visit to Angola ahead of this summit, he spoke about the Lobito Corridor. It's a crucial link. Why is it of interest? Because raw materials are going to be transported from the corridor, from the DRC, from Angola, from Zambia, to Europe, to the US, to other parts of the global market. So for a very long time, and this is how my interactions with Africans have gone, or some of the Ghanaians have spoken to that, the relationship has always been a give and take relationship, which is not necessarily fair, because now people are waking up to realize that perhaps the resources we are giving are more than what we are receiving in turn. And even we can actually add value to our resources so that the amount or the price that we can bid on these resources can go higher and can benefit the entire continent. So, Eddie, if you ask me what people think or how people view this relationship, that is how it has been. And I was speaking about Pan-Africanist ideals. Now, a lot of African countries are engaging in resource nationalism. They are making sure that they are taking their resources for themselves. If they are sending anything out, it has to be the finished product. You know, recently Malawi's president, who just came, said that, look, no resource is leaving our shores without added value. So that is where it has gotten to.
It's very interesting what you're saying, because yeah, it definitely resonates. You look across social media and all, there seems to be a lot of people that are questioning that sort of relationship, saying it's a top-down approach, that relationship between Europe and Africa. And so I really appreciate that you've highlighted that for us here. What are some of the key expectations, especially on the topic of migration, that people expect to come out of the summit?
People are expecting that in terms of migration, there will be that mutual cooperation. So we are not just giving you our skilled workforce, but also we are receiving something in return. So I think there has been a lot of exchange programs that both Africa and Europe have benefited from, but it has always been one-sided. Usually after these summits, there are policy documents that are made, which guides the rest of the 3 years ahead till the next summit. So people are hoping that there'll be a lot of changes in terms of regulations, in terms of immigration crackdowns, you know, in Africa. If you indeed want our skilled workforce, how are you going to ensure that when they come, they are safe and they are not being chased away like how we have seen in recent times? So that is the conversation that is happening here in Africa. And in terms of the exchange that we are talking about, so that it will not only necessarily seem like it is very one-sided. And the conversation has always been that Africans are the ones sending people, you know, to Europe. But the other way around, what are we seeing? What are the exchanges we are receiving in Africa as well, in terms of people coming in, you know, either to learn or either to study the system or even do business?
Right. Thank you very much, Ajoa, for that. And I'm going to come straight back to you, Edmilson, because look, at the end of the day, such a relationship and the talking about migration, the ordinary African is wondering what benefit they are going to get from this relationship, especially the discussion of migration. How does it benefit the ordinary African?
Right. At the top of the discussion is, how can we as African countries and European countries make migration become a choice rather than a necessity? And I think the discussions around migration, they are touching on the idea of partnership, so that migration can also be something to support economic transformation, not just Europe's labor shortages. But this includes investment in digital systems for mobility management, technology transfer to African institutions, job creation. So essentially, this is how the African continent is now approaching the issue of migration, the relationship with European countries as well. So this is something that we have to highlight. This is happening in Africa. So this is African countries bring the conversation home. And this is something that I was also touching on when I spoke about the Lobito Corridor. Even though there's a lot of discussion on natural resources, but at the top of it is people understanding that African countries are beginning to speak the same language. And the more we come together and we put our issues forward and we speak as one voice, the more likely we are to make the whole world understand that we are actually at the top of our own solutions, and we want people to help us come up with these solutions, not to make us, you know, see these solutions as even problems for our nations. So essentially, from an African perspective, is actually understanding how can we create frameworks that we facilitate legal migration, and we stop looking at Africa as the other all the time. You know, if you're applying for a visa and you come from an African country, we are already sort of like 70% sure that you might be neglected just because they're from the African continent. And, you know, and stop really, you know, stop trying to politicize the issue of migration in Europe, because the numbers show that it's not really at the level of making this, you know, Europe's biggest problem, because it's not. So essentially, this is how us as Africans are approaching this summit and this partnership. And I think we can be optimistic that the outcomes will be positive.
Can we really be optimistic? Because it seems that there's a lot of talk, but very little action. For instance, at the heart of the last summit, 2022, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there was an agreement for enhanced and reciprocal partnership for migration and mobility for both continents. It's been 3 years since that. Has anything changed for us to see that whatever the discussion was has actually been realized?
Right. I mean, we also have to understand that these are processes that they take time, right? And needs to be a collective effort from everyone, not just from some players, right? And if we look at the last summit in 2022, obviously there was a lot of discussions around migration, but because of the political moment that the whole world was living around that time, there wasn't really more tangible results coming out of it, because it became a political discussion within, you know, within the European continent. But I believe that we are at the stage where we are starting to have a much bigger voice within the talking table, within the discussion table, and bringing this conversation home and understanding that, you know, when we talk of migration, we have to talk about peace. We have to talk about, you know, security. So these issues, we are not seeing them as a sole issue. We are bringing them together with all the other issues around the continent, and we are trying to tackle them all together, because you can't talk about migration when you still have conflicts happening in the continent, right? So this is actually how I think we should be more optimistic, because the way we are approaching and our position within this discussion as well.
Right. There are those that feel like no matter what, irregular migration will happen for whatever reason it is, right? Look, the stats suggest that between January to June this year, 2025 alone, more than 1,000 deaths have been recorded from West and Central Africa to Europe. What can African governments do to prevent their people from taking such dangerous journeys where many lose their lives?
Right. I think this is something that we can apply to the whole continent as a whole, because people don't just, you know, wake up on a day and decide to, you know, put the life at risk to go all the way to Europe for nothing, right? You know, this is the position of African countries as well. Like, we understand the issues that we have and some of the reasons why people go out there, right? But it's something that when we look at the discussions of this summit that is happening in Luanda, you can see the effort of African countries to try and create frameworks that work, that make people not want to leave. You know, we have a very young population, and we know that this young population is the future and the present of our continent. And we fear that this young population will continue to, you know, find these pathways, illegal pathways, you know, just to try and look for better life, when we can actually, you know, do much better internally. So I think this is how African approaching these discussions as well, like African solutions for African problems. It comes down to us as African countries to put forward policies and good governance that allows people to see the future in our nations, in our continent, rather than going to Europe, and most of the times working under conditions that are not really the best conditions. So essentially, I think why African continent is approaching this issue of migration at a broader level with peace, security, employment, is because they understand that we have to do more internally to stop this from happening, because it's also hurting us, hurting our present, hurting our future. So this is why I think we need to implement more policies that are good for social affairs to avoid seeing our population going all the way to Europe in through illegal routes.
Adra, let me come to you as we start to wrap things up. I mean, based on all these contradictions and quite well highlighted by Ed Milsing, what do you really see the future of the EU-AU relationship, especially when it comes to tackling migration?
Eddie, so in terms of tackling migration, the proposal has been that we should deal with the factors that are pushing a lot of Africans into these borders or European markets or, you know, elsewhere apart from Africa. The push factors usually, you know, border around unemployment, low living standards or income. You know, their experience and the income they are getting do not match. And so they feel disgruntled. They feel that there is more out there if they pursue, so they go. You also have conflicts, which Edmondson, you know, spoke about briefly as well. The economic conditions generally in these African nations. In fact, the Africa Center for Strategic Studies, for instance, projects that if the current migration trend persists, we're going to likely have about 11 to 12 million people, you know, migrating from Africa to Europe by 2050.
Right. Thank you very much, Adra, for that. And you really are re-echoing the sentiments of many Africans on the ground. At the end of the day, if home is doing great, there will not be so many people that just want to leave for so-called greener pastures. So very well put, Adjoa. And Ed Milsing, so Adjoa is cautiously optimistic, although, you know, history suggests that normally it's just a lot of talk and not much action. But Ed Milsing, in a few words to wrap this up, how optimistic are you?
I am very optimistic just because this has happened, you know, home, obviously being from Angola and understanding the agenda of the country from a continental level. I'm very optimistic because I think, like I said again, it seems like we are beginning to speak the same language. We are starting to, you know, embody that Ubuntu spirit where, you know, you are because we are. And I think when we come together and put our issues to the table and we discuss solutions together, we always are more likely to find the best pathways for our future.
Right. Okay. Let's all be optimistic, but I believe we all agree that action will always speak louder than words. Ed Milsing Angelo, migration expert, and DW's Adjoa Tenkroma Domina, a correspondent in Accra, Ghana. Thank you very much for your insights.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
What's often overlooked is that irregular migration from Africa to Europe is decreasing. Crossings fell by nearly 40% in 2024. Showing real progress and hope for safer migration.
We are calling for a more balanced trade partnerships. I'm pleading for European investments in the transformation process of our minerals on the continent. I'm calling for the lifting of any tariff or non-tariff barrier hampering the access of African products to the European market. I'm finally calling for a stronger and more viable multilateralism based on equality, respect for all nations, and advancing the common vital global interest.
Excellencies, fellow leaders, in a world of trade conflicts, a closer partnership between us begins with trade itself. Europe is already your first trading partner by far. One-third of Africa's total trade is with Europe. And Africa exports to Europe more than twice as much as to China, for example. Most of our trade has been duty-free and quota-free already for decades, thanks to our free trade deals and preference schemes. But I see room to expand our trade relationship even further.
Now, Europe faces big labor shortages in health, IT, and the green sector, while Africa has a fast-growing youth population.
Now, that mix is pushing both sides toward new legal pathways and skills mobility deals. It seems both continents, Africa and Europe, agree that migration should be people-centered, with dignity and safety prioritized. What do you think? Please share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.